Okay, open your Bibles, if you would, to the great book of Revelation, chapter 4. Revelation, chapter 4. And Revelation, chapter 4, verse 1 reads, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, and which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." I'm going to show you some future. All of you like to know what the future brings. Now, just thumb back, if you would, to chapter 1. Hold your place there now. Chapter 1, verse 10. "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day," that's the first day of the millennium, "and heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it into the seven churches." And you notice then, of course, this being the Lord, and you notice in verse 16, "And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength." Okay. You want to make a mental note of that two-edged sword. But this was the Lord, and this was Christ also. Now, what has he just done right prior to this fourth chapter? He's gone to all seven of the churches, which he was instructed to do in that first chapter. And he let all of them but two know he was very disappointed in them. Okay. But those two that still taught who the Kenites were, he was very proud of. And he said, you can open doors that nobody can close and close doors that nobody can open. Because you have that key of David. But the important point I want you to know, we seem to, in these end times, people have a fear. You don't seem to realize God's on the throne. Okay. Well, what's a throne for? A throne is for judgment. It's to observe what's going on down here. And he's not a part-time father. Okay. He's on that throne 7 days a week, a full 360 or 5 days a year, whichever it happens to be. He's always there. So you have nothing to worry about because he's always with you. He knows you. He leads you. He observes. He knows what you even think, not only what you say. So always know that. He's on the throne. Verse 2. "And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne. I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." I want you to go back to Psalms 103 for me. Psalms 103. Pick it up in verse 19. Psalms 103, verse 19. The fact that he is on that throne doing what? We're going to find out what he's doing there. I want to encourage you. I want you to know that he's looking out for you. Verse 19, "The Lord prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all." Not part, my friend. Not just part-time, but he is ruler over all the time. "Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearken unto the voice of his word." I don't know, do you do his commandments? That's what he wants to know. Do you listen to him? Or do you like to listen to gobbledygook, okay, ratchet jaws? You want to listen to him. He's not sitting on that throne for naught. Okay. He's there for a reason. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts. That means the host of angels. You ministers of his. That means right here on earth, the ministers that do his pleasure. I don't know. Do you give him pleasure? The way you give him pleasure is if someone needs a word of truth taught to them, you share it. You give them that word of truth. It picks them up. And boy, does it please our Father. He knows he's not up there by himself, just hoping somebody will pay attention, keeping score, testing, evaluating, observing. He's there for a reason. He's to look out for those that love him and that give him pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That's quite a bit of repetition, but you do want to bless him. That's what gives you points with him, if it's real. Don't ever try to con him, okay? You're going nowhere that way. Let's go right on into the 104th Psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Not one stitch of filthiness about him. Who coverest thyself with light, as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain. I want you to think of that power for a moment when you look up at the sky. That's your Father that did that. You wonder if he can't help you? You wonder if he can't nudge you along a little bit, kick a bucket out of the way that gets in your path, if you're on his mission, if you're pleasing him? You've got to be pleasing him first, friend. That comes with it. Who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind. God is wherever, he's I am that I am. He's wherever he wishes to be. But he's always over his children. He's always on that throne. When he moves, that throne moves with him. That throne means judgment. That throne means control. He's in charge. Who maketh his angel spirits, his ministers, a flaming fire. You know, a true minister of God brings that fire of truth to the congregation. The fact that our Father loves us. He's above us. He leads us, guides us. And you know something? He needs you. He can get along without you, but he sure likes to be able to depend on you. You know, that's why he has elect. He could count on them in the first earth age. He knows that they can cut it now. If he says go, they're going to go. They're not going to say how far. Well, maybe after a while. Now, that's the way he likes it. Okay. Who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever. And so it is. Go with me now to the ninth Psalm. Way back to number 9. Still thinking about his throne, where he is. Psalms 9. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I'm not going to hold anything back. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I don't know, do you ever share that with anyone? You should. Because he's got so many, many marvelous, marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praises to thy name, O thou most high, Elyon. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. You can count on it. Your enemies don't have a prayer. Not that, well, why is that? Well, God gave you power over all your enemies. Do you ever exercise any of it? Well, I wish they'd leave me alone. Well, ask the Father to put them in their place. Do it. Don't just think it or talk about it. Do it. He gives you a sword, a two-edged sword. It's his tongue. It's the word of God. If you don't use it, then shame on you. He's on the throne. He's sitting there observing and evaluating. And what are you doing? Well, they're picking on me. Then pick on them back. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou settest in thy the throne, judging right. You want to always make sure you're right. But he'll take care of the rest, okay? When you do your best, I mean, that's not going to be good enough, maybe. But don't you ever worry. He'll take up the slack, okay? He will certainly take up the slack. He'll even the playing field. Hey, you know what? He's on the throne. And he's there for a purpose, not just to look at. Not just so they can say, well, there's God again. He's busy taking care of his children, those that obey his commandments. Thou hast rebuked the heathen, that's the unbelievers. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. Ultimately, that will happen if they don't come around. O thou enemies, destructions are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial, that's to say their memory, is perished with them. When they're gone, period. They're blotted out. You won't even remember them. But the Lord shall endure forever. How long? Well, I just wish I could be sure. Forever! He has prepared his throne for judgment. It's there. That's the purpose of it. Don't you ever get it set in your mind, I just wish God could help me. He's waiting. He's waiting. He's sitting there. He wants to judge. But you've got to ask him. You've got to say, Father, I need to talk with you. I want you to see what's happening here. And then, but what you can do, you do yourself. Okay. Because you heard me, all of you heard me say at one time, you hear one of these holy Joes, I'll say, well, God, I was talking to God and he told me where to park my car today. If you're too stupid to know where to park your car, God's not going to help you. Okay. It's just the way it is. That one-upmanship of trying to say, God really loves me, he told me where to park my car. Well, okay. God doesn't deal with people like that. They just like to talk. Okay, you don't want to pay a whole lot of attention to him. Verse 8, is that where we got? And he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprighteousness. Listen real carefully, this ninth verse. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed. Where do you go when you get in trouble? You run? You hide? Or do you look up? He's your refuge when you're oppressed. When it gets more than you can handle, reach out. Talk to him. Father, help me. A refuge in times of trouble. Verse 10, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast forsaken them that seek, for thou hast not forsaken them that seek thee. You've got to call on him. Well, maybe I'll get around to it. Well, maybe you will, maybe you won't. Okay. If you're too busy to talk to God with your, well, I've got trouble, you don't understand, brother. I've got too much trouble to talk to God. You sure do. You've got more problem than you'll ever be able to get out of. Verse 11, sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. And so it is. I want to go on to the 11th Psalm. Here we go, 11:1. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain. Now listen to me. For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily or privately shoot at the upright in heart. They're laying out there in wait. They're setting traps. They like to take advantage of righteous people, rip them off, tear them up, upset them, get their way with them. What are you going to do? You going to flee? You going to run? Well, the arrows are getting ready to fly, brother. You need to tell me you're a Christian and you don't know who to go to take care of their little arrows. This is gossip, hurtful words. You don't know who to go to get that fixed? That would be awful if you didn't. Because you have a refuge. He's on the throne. He's waiting. He's not on the throne just to rest a while. He's there for judgment. Well, what does that mean? It means to judge for the righteous and take care of the wicked. He's waiting. So don't ever run or hide from little arrows. What do? Verse 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Hashatah is what that word is in the Hebrew, and it means the foundations is the order of truth. If the order of truth is destroyed, that's awful. What can the righteous do if the foundations of truth are destroyed? That's the law. It's God's word. Verse 4. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids, listen to me, His eyelids try the children of men. That means His eyes are upon men. He evaluates them. He tests them. He watches you. Now what are you going to do? You going to run? You going to go hide? Or are you going to call on our Father? I mean, He's your Father too. And He's on the throne and He's waiting. Okay. But you got to make your move. Because that documents that you have faith. Faith enough to ask. Hey, He's in, God, I don't want you to forget that verse. He's in His temple. He's on His throne, and His very eyelids are watching you with evaluation to see what you're going to do. Verse 5, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. God doesn't like it. Upon the wicked he shall rain sneers, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. What are you afraid of? How stupid it would be to run and hide, even hide from God, when He's your refuge, He's your Savior. He's the one you call on. He's on His throne. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the bright. The Hebrew in this is more beautiful. It reads like this in that last sentence. The upright behold His countenance. The upright behold His countenance because He smiles upon them. Those eyes of evaluation find them worthy. Worthy for a blessing. And He touches them. Raises them up. And He does bring a tempest. That's a storm. Against the enemy. He will put so many snares in their path that they will trip and they will fall. Okay. And you know something? We're not just talking. If you truly love your Father and if you communicate with Him, you'd better in these end times. He's there. He's there for you. He loves you. Don't ever, ever forget that. Now, the time we return back to the fourth chapter of Revelation, that little old chapter is just loaded. fourth chapter of Revelation, and we're going to pick up where we left off there. Verse 3. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardonic stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. First and last stones of the priest's breastplate. Okay. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. That means they had overcome all their problems, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. They'd earned them. Okay. In my opinion, it's probably the 12 disciples minus one here or there, Judas, and the 12 patriarchs, be that as it may. Verse 5, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne. These are the seven spirits of God. What? Seven spirits of God. Now, let me tell you something. If you continue on into the fifth chapter, there's a book written and it's got seven seals on it. You've all heard of the seven seals, and most of you know what every one of them means because it's been revealed. But the old boy was crying, because nobody could do it. And finally, in the fifth verse of the fifth chapter, turn there with me, chapter 5, verse 5, Revelation. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. You stop crying. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And so it was. Do you know what the fifth seal is? Let's just stop. No, it sounds complicated. No, it isn't. The fifth seal is for you to know who Abaddon and Apollyon are. That's to say the Antichrist. And the fact that he will appear for a five-month period. Period. That's all it means. It's that simple. Listen carefully. 6, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. In other words, it's simply the Holy Spirit out to God's election, who can pick up the two-edged sword, his truth, and carry it forth to witness against the seal, the fifth seal's opponent, Satan. Okay, that's simple. So never make God's word complicated. What are they doing besides that? 7. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors or incense, which are the prayers of the saints. All the prayers that have been answered in heaven. I want you to know that the Greek is real strange, because where it says the four beasts, it's the living creatures, okay? It's the Zoon or the Zoi that God put with the flaming swords at the Garden of Eden to protect the tree of life when he closed Eden, okay? So don't make any big evil thing out of that, because the word beast is used there. Verse 9, and they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And so he has redeemed, made possible, just as this table of the Lord that we partook of this morning. It is the blood of Christ that opens mysteries to some. But the simplicity of God's word to you. What is this new song they're singing? We're going to find out. Okay. Verse 10, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. I'm kind of running you around a little bit, but back to Psalms 149. You don't mind, do you? I mean, you're all Bible scholars, actually, and you can cut it. Psalms 149, I believe next to the last or might close to it. Verse 149. Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. I hope that by this time you're beginning to understand that probably the lead line in that new song is praise the Lord. Well, because of what he's done for us, what he does do for us, if you take advantage of it, if you love him, let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Do you give your Father pleasure? That's what his blessings flow, when you please him. When you give him pleasure, he's going to run your cup over, my friend. Let the saints, who are these saints? That means set aside ones, God's elect. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Even sleep good at night, because they can sing that song. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. I don't want you to forget that. Well, now tell me again, what is that two-edged sword? I purposely took you to the first chapter of Revelation to show you that it's simply the Word of Christ. It's the Word of God. You can take that Word and you can cut with it. You can take that Word and you can build up or you can destroy. What do you mean destroy? Well, if somebody's trying to destroy your type of ministry, you can ask God to destroy it, to do away with that. Is it righteous? Have you requested a righteous request? Then God will most likely honor it. You have all kinds of power, but you've got to use it. You can't, well, I just wish I had it. You do. You're just not using it. And that's what's important. You have to call on his name and mean it. Okay. And know it. Okay. Of a certainty. So you want to keep that sharp sword. Well, how do I use that sword? It's real simple. You grow so skilled in God's Word that if an adversary shows up to harm God's Word, you can take slices like a sharp razor with truth and fillet them out. Okay. I've had to do it in a few times. It's necessary sometimes. Well, there's that kind of... No, that's gracious. It saves souls. Okay. That's the way you use the two-edged sword. Do you understand that you're one of Satan's worst enemies? Because you carry that sword. It's the truth. That sword is the truth. Satan hates it. God loves it. And God's on the throne. He's watching, as we learned in that one psalm. His eyelids are evaluating. What are you going to do? I'm going to call on the Lord. Okay. And I mean, I'm going to take care of what I can take care of. When I, you know, I don't mind. Hey, bring it on. If I can handle it myself, I'm going to do it. Okay. And enjoy it. Okay. But if I need help, I sure know where to go to get it. Okay. I would be foolish not to. Because he knows everything, I don't. Okay. I got so carried away with myself, I forgot where I am here. Let me think a moment. To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people. That's a little heavy, but the truth, you know, true love corrects people. Do you understand that? If you see somebody on there slipping on a slippery slope, and you can give them some good, kind, loving advice, sometimes it stings them a little bit, but that's true love, okay? To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. How precious it is that our Father allows us to do this. I'm going to run you all the way back to Revelation chapter 4. That old thing is just loaded. It is just a beautiful little chapter. Okay. And we're going to pick it up with verse 6. And before the throne, Revelation chapter 4, verse 6. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. These are living creatures. Don't make something wicked out of them. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. All of you that have studied with me, you know this was the encampment and the flags of Israel when they camped at night. Okay, different subject for different time. I'm not going to go there right now. But you're familiar from the first chapter of Ezekiel what that means. And verse 8. Listen carefully. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Do you recognize that from the Lord's Prayer? Okay. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed, holy, be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here is thy kingdom and is to come. In other words, we see them singing that same Lord's Prayer. It's a new song, okay? And yet at the same time, it's an old song. And how precious it is, because it is the Lord's Prayer. It's the way He told you to pray. Now we go to Psalms 96 again. I'm not going to apologize for running you around a little bit. You're going to be happy about it. Psalms 96. We're going to stay here for a little bit, and you want to pay close attention. Hallowed be thy name, O Heavenly Father. Thy kingdom come. We're talking about His return. We're talking about the end times. We're talking about now, and information you should absorb. Psalms 96. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great. And greatly to be praised, He is to be feared above all gods, revered, loved. That word in the Hebrew translates both ways. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. In other words, you've got a lot of religions around this world, but God made it. Okay. So who are you going to serve? Okay. Verse 6. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. 7. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. What offering does He want? We studied it this morning. I don't want your burnt offerings. I want your love. He wants you to love Him. That's what He wants. That is so hard for some people to understand. They try to buy themselves their way into heaven. You won't cut it, friend. It's your love for Him. and that love is enduring. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, fear before Him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. Now we're getting close to the beginning of the song, and kind of you get the title of it here. The Lord reigneth. He's on that throne. He hasn't stopped, okay, as some people seem to think. The world also shall be established that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. In the next verse is a beautiful truth hidden in the Hebrew manuscripts. Okay. And the Masala locks it in to document the fact that the new song is coming up in the next chapter. In this verse 11, I will translate it for you after I read it in English. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Our Father in the Masora, inasmuch as He stated, Eya Hasha'i, I am that I am. I'm whatever I want to be, wherever I want to be. I'm all in all to You. He said in the Masora His sacred name, not a whole lot of times, but a few times. That 11th verse happens to be one of them, where it states in the 11th verse, let the heavens rejoice and the earth be glad. In Hebrew, it is Yeshmihu. Yesh, which is Y. Okay. Hash Shamayam, which is H. Vet Hegel, which is V, as in Victor. And Hazel, which is the earth, which is H. So it's YHVH, Yahweh's sacred name, so that you know the song that is coming up is the one He's chosen. Okay. Locked in. You with companion Bibles, you're very fortunate, for the Hebrew is brought out for you in the side column. Verse 12, let the field be fruit joyful, and all that is therein, then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice. 13, before the Lord, for the He cometh. What's He going to do? For He cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with His truth. Now in 97 we have the new song, and He wants you to sing it. So absorb it. Enjoy it. Psalms 98 is an invitation or a call for all to sing the song. We're going to cover both of them briefly. Verse 97, this is the song. This is the new song. Listen to it. Enjoy it. The Lord reigneth. That's the title. Don't ever think He's off the throne. He's there. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of the isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are around about Him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of His throne. Nothing but good. He blots out the bad. A fire goeth before Him and burneth up His enemies round about. His lightnings enlighteneth the world. The earth saw and trembled. We've got some days coming that are going to be very interesting. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. He rules the earth, you understand? The heavens declare His righteousness, and all the people see His glory. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols, worship Him, all ye gods. If you want to be confused, have to it, okay? If you want to play church, go ahead. Yeah. And get away from God's Word. You're going nowhere. That's what He's saying. Okay. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of Thy judgments, O Lord. Why? He's always fair. He's always, well, I'm afraid I'll get a bum deal. No, you won't. That's His promise, and you can count on it. For Thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Why would you want to let someone lead you into some mystic study? whereby they don't really use God's word, but they simply allude to it. Why would you want to do that? When you cut off your own inheritance, you lose everything. Don't ever forget this song, and you stick with it. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hands of the wicked. You can count on it. If you love him and you give him pleasure, you can count on it. Light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. God paves that way. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. That's the song. That's the new song. And just a few verses into the next chapter, because it's a summons for people to sing it. Okay, what does he say about it? Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory. And it continues on. And how beautiful it is. Take a home assignment. It's your summons, your personal summons, to sing that song, to enjoy it, to know your Father is on the throne. You need to go to him. Talk to him. Let him know most of all that you love him. That's very important. Returning to Revelation chapter 4 to complete this lecture. We pick it up following those that said, Holy, holy, which is, which was, and is to come. Verse 9. And when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne. Where is he? He's sitting on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, what are they saying? Thou art, all crowns go to him. Okay, there's only the one King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You want to remember that verse. For his pleasure. He didn't create anything. You've got a lot of hybrids that come along the way of man's inventions. But what God created, he created for his pleasure, not man's. And when you sing that song, it makes that declaration. That's what it's all about. He's on the throne. That's where you reign from. Not only that, he fixed it whereas priests shall reign with him for 1,000 years through the millennium. And how precious it is that our Father makes all these things possible. And how beautiful.
Most favorite.